Turn your Bibles, will, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We've taken a look first, and this is kind of the sequence that has led one thing to another. What the saints are seeing in heaven. And then that's led us to the judgments. And so we've dealt with the judgments and that. And kind of from that, we touched on really the last part of that. It's the last part of the judgments and the first part. The last couple messages there in Hebrews was also the first part of our motivation to live for our Lord. And what would we title that? This? Well, I haven't come up with the exact title that I would use, but something along the line of how and why should we walk with our Lord? Because as a child of God, that's what we're doing. We're walking with the Lord. It's just like He's holding our hand and He's leading us in the way that we should go. And we should line up with His leadership. We should be sensitive to His leadership. And we should use and avail ourselves everything that He's equipped us with. And so that's really the beginning. Like I said, there in Hebrews is the beginning of this next third part of this. So what the saints are seeing in heaven, the judgments, and then motivation. What's our motivation to walk with our Lord? Why and how should we walk with our Lord? James chapter 1 is an excellent place to look at this and to start off with this, past that of what we see in Hebrews. We saw there in Hebrews chapter 10 and then on through chapter 12 that our God is a consuming fire. His holiness and His righteousness is beyond anything that we can conceive of, that we can imagine. But we need to know that that is the case. He has called us, our God, who is so holy, has called us unto holiness. And don't be afraid of that word. It's been folded, spindled, and mutilated by folks and religious groups in the world. But we need to know what holiness is, and we need to follow after it. Okay, we need to ensue it and pursue it, as the scripture says. And so James chapter 1 is also, the book of James is written initially unto the saved Jews, but we glean from it also as Gentiles, because the command and the working of the Lord, the admonition of the Lord to us is exactly the same. If you're saved and you are the Lord's, the Word of God is coming to us in this context. And so the Lord has given us some things. He's told us some things. He's commanded us some things. We need to know what they are and need to be pursuing them, because He will chastise us here as we disobey. He loves us. He's a Father that is going to bring us to righteousness and to holiness. And then we will be judged at the end, and there is a chastening effect there even at that judgment. Now, let me be clear. Brother Jim is not preaching a purgatory. This is the Father dealing with His children, okay? But we saw there in Hebrews chapter 10 that is a real thing. Judgment and fiery indignation. You define it to me if it doesn't match up the way I've presented it to you, okay? Because I want to know. I want to know what it means. And I believe that we all do. We should. James chapter 1. Let's read into this chapter, and then we're going to dive into the portion that we want to focus on tonight here at the end of the chapter. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is James, one of the apostles, James the Less, if we understand it correctly. But, you know, it could be along with the book of Hebrews, it could have been really early on. It could have been with those first Jewish believers and members of the Lord's church. It could have been possible that James John's brother wrote this. It's possible. We attribute it to James the Less, as we call him. But nevertheless, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Brethren, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your patience, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him that ask in faith, And so we see here about this of prayer and petitioning our Lord. Ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And this wavering and this being tossed is akin to being more immature, more infantile. It's the way it is with us. When we're younger in the faith, we have occasion to doubt, and we have to learn, and we have to grow. But that's what the Lord is expecting, is petitioning him, believing in him that he will answer. You know, we pray, and we may not know. It's not talking about having confidence on how the Lord will do it, but having confidence that the Lord will do it, and we wait on him to work it out and to do what we can do, what we have before us to do, and he will work it out. But let him that ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, the one that wavers. A double-minded man, one that asks the Lord, looking for the Lord to work, and then doubting. Here, that's the double-mindedness, doubting that the Lord isn't going to do it, that the Lord hadn't done it soon enough, that the Lord hadn't done it on our time frame, that the Lord going to do it another way. Don't be double-minded, but have faith in the Lord. Look to him for it. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich and he that is made low, because as a flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth it. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, desire, and enticed. That's Satan's work. That is the work of men. That is the work of the flesh, that enticement. And when lust hath conceived, desire and pursuit of that desire of the flesh hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Think about that. And something, when there is a turning of something, there's a shadow created. Our Lord does not even begin to throw a shadow in his turning. Okay? He is faithful. He is faithful. Of his own will begat he us. A reminder. How? With the word of truth, his word. Okay? And this is important for where we're heading, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so here's the beginning of what we want to consider and look at tonight. He birthed us with the word of truth. Okay? Because we knew nothing. And then God's word came along and told us about us, told us about him, told us about what he requires, told us about his son. Okay? That's how we know. We don't know anything except the Lord telling us the truth about all those things, and showed us Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of sinners like us. The command unto us to repent. The command unto us to believe and trust in his son. Okay? The salvation that he alone saves with and gives, an eternal life that is in his hand, and he gives as he sees fit. We knew nothing without the word of truth from our Lord. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, that's a portion there, a handful of words that I think would be good to drill down in and to investigate that about first fruits. I just pose it to you in this way, and what I believe we're going to see in the rest of the passage. First fruits. You know, there's some peppers that have been coming on. I've had some of them recently. There's some cucumbers coming on. And I tell you what, some green beans. Had some fresh green beans the other day. And you know, what is it about the first round that is just so good, right? First fruits. We haven't had fresh for the whole winter and the fall and since last summer, okay? But now the first fruits have come on in some respects. There's been some that have been trafficking in peaches. Praise the Lord. Okay, I really, really like peaches. And the peach preserves that Clarissa, I pray, is going to make. Okay, I tell you what, it's been a long time since we had fresh peaches, the first fruits. So we, the Lord's children, are kind of, and that's the word that is used, a kind of first fruits. And what is that? First fruits of his creatures. Well, man is the highest order of the Lord's creation upon the earth, that which is made in his image and his likeness, given to share or to be a benefactor of the Lord, bestowing that glory. We are a trichotomy, like our Lord is three in one. And there's much about how the Lord has created mankind, not the animals, not the angels, but us. And you know what? He has saved us to be like him. First fruits. I'm persuaded that one aspect of what this verse, that portion of that verse is talking about there in verse 18, is that the saved children of God are a manifestation of the holiness of God upon this earth. And ultimately, we are heading towards complete and total holiness. Think about that. Okay? That we, what's it say there? He says, of his own will, his working, begat, birthed he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, Adam was the first man. And granted, you and I here at 6,000 or so years later, we're not the first people that have arrived on this earth, have we? But you know what? The saved children of God have shown all through time, all the way back through antiquity, all the way back to Adam, we have shown and represented, the children of God have represented and shown the Lord, haven't we? A shining of the holiness and work of God. Okay, something for us to chew on and a subject to deal with later on. Wherefore, verse 19, my beloved brethren, here's our outline. Let every man be swift to hear. Be swift. Hear quick. Slow to speak. That means be careful when you talk. Slow to wrath. Be very slow to wrath. So here's the outline. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man, so he's going to deal with these in a backward order. For the wrath of man, let's deal with wrath, worketh not the righteousness of God. You mark it down. Get angry, get physical with it, move on it. Let it come out of your mouth. Let it come out of your hands. Let it move forward in your body. It doesn't work the righteousness of God. Wrath's been dealt with. Okay? So we just don't do any good meddling with anger and wrath. We need to put it away from us. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to be wishy-washy. We need to believe what God believes. We need to stand and weather the storm, the onslaught of the wiles of the devil and the fiery darts of the wicked, standing in and saying over and over and over and over, living what is the truth. We don't need to become wrathful. It does not work the righteousness of God. Then it goes on here. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness, corruptness, dirtiness, and superfluity. Now, that's a word that we don't use often. When's the last time you used the word superfluity? Huh? That means it's saying like a whole bunch, a whole bunch of nastiness, naughtiness. Naughtiness is wound up there with wickedness, malice, getting back, vindictiveness, All those ugly things that come out of the natural man. He says, the wrath will not work the righteousness of God. Lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness. And what's he say? Rather, receive with meekness, that's power, that's ability under control, the engrafted, that's a wonderful thing, word, which is the word of God, which is able to save your souls. It's by the word that we found out we needed a Savior, isn't it? Our Savior is, in fact, called one of his names, the Word. You and I, by obeying what God has said, our lives are saved, are they not? I'm talking about the lives that we live here physically. From the time that we've been saved to the time we go out of here, our lives are sanctified for the Lord as we obey him. Okay? And listen to that engrafted word. That engrafted word. You remember what it says over here in Hebrews chapter 4. Let me read it quickly. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, dividing asunder a soul and spirit. And praise God, he did so with me. You're here and saved. You save me too. Right? And as the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart, which we need it revealed. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. And we needed to know that. And it's been made known to us by his word. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Engrafted word. Word put in us. Our Lord Jesus lives within us. The Spirit of God lives within us. His word lives within us. I was just talking to somebody this week about how it is that the saved desire the sincere milk of the word. What do you think about the word of God? Do you give a lick about it? Do you and I give a lick about it? Or does it matter to us? It needs to matter to us. And to the saved child of God, it will matter to us. It's something that we desire and want. Okay? Back in James, he says here, of his own will he begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Verse 21, wherefore lay aside all filthiness, superfluity, and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So what's our outline that we saw there in verse 19? Let every man be swift to hear the word of God. Okay? And then he goes on to say here, what does hearing yield? But be ye doers of the word. So we need to hear the word of God, but we need to do more than hear. We need to hearken in that we hear and we do. But be ye doers of the word. And brothers and sisters, understand it doesn't say law. It doesn't say be ye doers of the law, but be ye doers of the word. That's the law and more. Oh, Brother Jim, but we're not legalists, are we? We're not legalists. Listen, understand this about this whole thing about legalism. Legalism, the term legalism, has to do with you doing something to save your soul. And therefore, we are not legalists because there's not a thing we can do to save our souls. But I tell you what, if the Lord says don't take his name in vain, or the Lord says don't murder somebody, or don't steal from somebody, or don't go around naked, or don't slander somebody, he means it. And he sure means it for us as children. On and on and on, the things that he tells us. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. So our outline here in verse number 19 says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. Wrath has been dealt with in the first, okay? And now he's dealing with this about hearing. But hearing is just not going to be, it's not the end at just hearing, but be a doer of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You know what that means? That means there's some people that are deceiving themselves by just being a hearer of the word. They hear the word and they said, I've heard the word. I know where it's at. I can quote it to you out of the Bible. But going no farther than that, they are deceived. Deceived in what? Deceived in their standing before the Lord. It's not enough to know it. But the Lord expects us to do. To do. That's what Jesus did when he came. He knew the word of the Father. Was that enough? No, he did. He did. And that's the way that it works. It leads unto action. We talked in our study of the epistle of 1 Corinthians there regarding charity. Charity of mouth is nothing. It's words. But charity that leads to action, oh, it's known that it is love. Do you know that Jesus loves you, child of God? We sure do. How do we know? Because he's told us. No, because he's done for us. That's how we know he loves us, because he has done for us. He has done these things. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's what results from that. Hearing, the Lord gives us hearing and charges us to hear that we might take and act upon it. For if any, verse 23, be a hearer of the word and not a doer, here's an example of what he's like. He's like unto a man beholding his face, beholding his natural face. That's our face, our visage, our countenance in a glass, a mirror. Okay. Most of us, I got here, I didn't know if I brushed my hair or not. I really don't know if my hair is crazy or if it's combed over good. I forgot. But most of the time, I look in the mirror and try to get it tamed down. It's kind of wild, like James's hair. And we look at ourselves in the mirror, and we know what we look like, don't we? You know what you look like, because we have mirrors. And when you look in a mirror and you see you, or you see a picture of you, you know that's you, because you've looked at yourself in a mirror. We've done it so many times that we know that that's us. And we know about other people too. Okay? One that hears and is not a doer is like somebody that's looked at their face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, verse 24, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Forget about who you belong to. Forget about your calling. Brother Stephen's going to talk to us. He's going to teach about on Sunday, Lord willing, about hard shellism. That's the way, that's what's going on there. They say that they are saved, but the hard shells that I've known just go on and live like nothing has ever made any difference at all. They claim a knowledge, not a Savior. They don't hearken to the Word of God. They just know the Word of God and have self-applied it in conceitedness. They're not to be despised. They're to be pitied and witnessed to. And you know what that doctrine does of hard shellism? It takes and it puts them, they put themselves in a box, having put God in a box, to where they don't even know what they can tell anybody. If somebody comes to them to ask them, what must I do to be saved, like the Philippian jailer, they would say, well, maybe if you're one of the elect, it'll all be okay. They got nothing else to say. That's not what the Lord has given us to declare. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and beholdeth himself, he looks at himself, and goeth his way, and straightway he forgets what manner of man he was. In the obedience of the Lord, the obedience of the Lord that we get from his word, his command and admonition and direction to us, we remember that we are his. He has done good. And we are to do good as his child, representing the parents. What's it tell us in the book of Proverbs? The behavior of a child is a reflection on the parents. Bottom line, is that a good way to summarize a lot of verses in Proverbs? The behavior of the children is a reflection on the parents. What's an obedient child of God point to? A father that's worth trusting. What's somebody that claims the Lord Jesus but never obeys him? What's that a reflection of? Well, they're just like me. Why should I change? Who's God? Right? I mean, that's what happens. There's no witness or testimony of a touch by God and who he really is. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forgets that he's of the Lord. He will suffer from blindness of the heart. And look at this. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the perfect, mature law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, I didn't write that. That's what the Lord has had written by Brother James. So what do we see here? We see here in this. In verse 23, the hearer of the word leads to the work that we see in verse number 25. The hearer of the word, it leads to the work and the blessing of God. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 8. He's dealing with these folks here. And we're going to back up here a few verses. Let's look here in verse number 27 of John chapter 8. Look here. He's dealing with this group. He's at the Mount of Olives. They brought to him the woman taken in adultery in this chapter. And then he's dealing with them, and he wrote on the ground regarding her. And he talks about himself being the light of the world. And then it says there in verse 20, he spake the words. So he's at the treasury. And they don't understand what he says and the things that he's telling here. Verse 24, he says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. And that's the way it is for you that are not saved today. If you don't believe that he is, you'll die in your sins. That he is the I am, the one that you need. Verse 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And these things that he said before. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, and he's talking about crucifixion, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Because they're quarreling with him about him saying that he's the Son of God. And he that sent me is with me, verse 29. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. See, they're railing on him about what he's doing. He said, I'm doing exactly what the Father would have me to do. As he spake these words, many believed on him. There are those that believed on him. And in that, remember the different kinds of grounds, because I think that's what's represented here. And then Jesus says this. And what do you think about this? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Somebody that said was that saved would say, amen. That's exactly right. I need to know more about what you, my Lord and Savior, has said. And you have saved me. You have set me free. You've made me free. And what you give me more will continue to do so. But what happens with this crowd here that the Lord challenges in this, they end up wanting to kill him. They end up wanting to kill him here. The perfect law of liberty. Brothers and sisters, back in James 1, brothers and sisters, we've been saved. We've been saved from our sins. We've been saved from ourselves. We've been saved from this world system. We've been saved from Satan. And we have been made and set free by our Lord unto obedience of him. You know, before we were saved, we could do nothing but disobey him. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin. But being saved, we've been set free to serve, to worship, to be able to hear and understand and to obey and glorify our Lord. That is the perfect law of liberty, I believe. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, look down there in it. Look at the freedom that we've been given. Not to live for self, not to just do whatever we want, not to presume against the security of the believer and of the perseverance of the saints and piddle that away, if you will, just on a lustful, willful life for the flesh. No. And Brother Peter tells us, the rest of our time to the will of God, not to the will of self. That's what hearing the word of God will do for us. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the hearing of the word leads to the action and obedience of the word and in the work of God, the blessed deed and obedience. Verse 26, here's an example or an application. If any man among you seem to be religious, okay? One of the few places that this word religious is used. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, what did it say there? In verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, there's other deception there. This man's religion is vain. We can go to chapter 3 and read more about such. Okay? But he says there, be careful what you say. And speak according to what the Lord has given us and declares unto us. See, there may be those that claim that they are right with God, hearing the word of God, but the doing of their mouth is contrary to God. And what did the Lord Jesus say? All of our hearts are revealed by our mouth. That's the way it is with all of us. All of our hearts are revealed by our mouth. It's just that way. We need to face up to that. But that's the truth. That's what happens with us. Our hearts are revealed by our mouth. So he deals with that here. He said, if a man doesn't bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is empty. Pure religion, listen to what it says. Pure religion, ceremonial observance, worshiping, service, under that word religion. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. And the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. You know why they're mentioned here? Because they really can't do anything for you. They can't requite us. They are found weak, very unable. You know, the Lord came to the undesirable, didn't he? You know, and religious groups today don't want the undesirable. You know, we go and preach at the jail to the undesirable. Have you ever had the thought, man, what if some of those people start coming to services? Well, we'll have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But you know what? They got caught, and you and I haven't. And their soul is no less or no more important than yours and mine. We're right in there with them. They need salvation just like we needed salvation. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and the part that's always left out, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Holiness. 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 Obedience to the Lord. Being like Jesus. And you know how that we're going to be holy? We're going to have to be obedient. We're going to have to deny self. We're going to have to not deny the way of the world. To deny the lust of this natural man. And we're going to have to, what? What then? Figure it out ourselves what to do that's right? No. Be hearers and doers of the word. It's the Lord that tells us how to obey. It's the Lord that tells us how to be like him, how to be holy, how to be pure, how to walk humbly with him, how to be like Jesus, and have the powers and the blessings that we have under control and meekness for his sake and representative of him. Remember what it said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about charity? That's the way our Lord is. That's the way we need to be. And so we see here, unspotted from the world. In verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. And that will yield in verse number 23, for if any be a hearer of the word, we need to be hearers, but not just stop there. Verse 25, but whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, not to forget what we've heard, but to use it and apply it. It reads on there in verse 25, but a doer of the work. The word of God will lead to the work of God. And what is it that Jesus gave unto his New Testament Baptist church? A commission to fulfill. Amen. The work of God. Lord willing, for on our Sunday morning messages, we've been taking a look at it a long time about worshiping the Lord. I look to go here sometime soon, maybe even Sunday, to take a look at service of the Lord. It's different. Worship is one thing, and service is different. And we need to know both. Unspotted from the world. We remember what the Lord told Sardis over here in Revelation chapter 3. Let's read over there and we'll close. Revelation chapter 3, first six verses. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. He's saying the same thing, isn't he? Hear it and do it, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come to thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know at what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. You think about the reference in the scriptures, and so much there in the book of the Revelation about the white robes that we'll wear. And I have this vision, this picture of a saint of God wearing a white robe, but all hand-printed up. Like the world is like sticking your hands in a pile of coal dust and getting all smudged up on that white robe. Pardon me. That's not a pretty picture, is it? Getting jostled up, getting your elbow in it and your shoulder in it and your back in it. There are a few names, even in Sardis, which has not defiled the garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Our obedience and our pursuit of holiness is important to the Lord. Is it not? It sure is. It sure is. And you know what? You and I get up every morning and decide in the morning and as we go along for the day what we're going to do. That's just the fact of it. And may we avail ourselves to petition our Lord in prayer for help to do the things that we cannot do, that we cannot keep up, and for understanding of His leadership and reading of His Word, consuming of His Word, to be instructed by Him and visiting with Him in prayer. What's He say here? He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. There it is again. And I will not blot out His name out of the book of life, but I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So our motivation, the how and the why and the how of why we should, or how we should walk with our Lord. Walk humbly with our Lord. Why and how can we do so? We need to hear and believe what He says and take it and apply it to our lives, always asking for His help and for strength to be able to do so. All things are possible through God, which strengtheneth me. That's what He says, right? May the Lord help us.